The James Webb Space Telescope is now planned for launch in 2018, following extensive replan and rebudgeting exercises that were successfully completed and actually approved in the congressional budget for this year. So we're now on track. We've been able to hold to our schedule for a whole year now, meeting all our monthly milestones, and I think that's pretty fantastic.
So is this thing being constructed? Is there a piece of metal you can look at yet?
We are constructing it now. We expect delivery of all of the scientific instruments this year. These are flight instruments ready to go into space after they're tested some more. We're quite far along in the construction. All 18 of the beryllium mirror segments have been polished and figured to the right shape and all coated and ready to go. We're quite far along on the test in the production program. Of course, then there's putting it all together and testing it, which is the thing that distinguishes us from just push the button and hope for the best. We will be doing a lot of testing that begins already now.
So is it mechanical testing? I imagine basically the thing is a software engine, though.
Actually, most of our challenges are in the mechanical structures and making sure that they survive the launch. It's extremely hazardous to go into space on top of an extreme vibration and sound level. And of course, when we get there, the telescope will cool down to extremely low temperature so it can do its job of observing infrared wavelengths from the deep space. We have to test combination of warm launch, warm vibration, terrible things happening, putting it in the cold of outer space, to making sure it'll work in both conditions.
And you might want to explain how it builds on the Hubble telescope. Will they operate in tandem? Will the Webb do something that the Hubble doesn't do? How do they relate to one another?
The Hubble, as you know, is still working and has been upgraded by numerous servicing missions. It's now working better than it's ever worked before, and we're really thrilled with it, and we expect it'll continue to work for a good long time. Luck seems to be with us, and we're very happy with it. In fact, it's 22 years old now in space as we speak. James Webb will extend what the Hubble has shown us by extending the coverage to longer wavelengths. Hubble was able to reach almost to the edge of the visible universe, but not quite. And they said there's more out there that we can't see with the Hubble because we know that the wavelengths are going to be longer than what we can measure. So what you all need to follow the Hubble and extend the science is a bigger telescope and a cold one so it can measure infrared wavelengths. So we'll see farther back towards the first galaxies and the first stars to see how it is that we get here, how it is stars are being formed today nearby in our own galaxy. There's about a new star every year being formed in the galaxy. And finally, even how does it come that planets like Earth can exist and how many of them are like ours?
Give us an idea how big this thing is. Is it the size of a school bus or what?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the telescope is much larger than the Hubble. It is 21 feet across the mirror, which is considerably larger than the rocket itself. It means we're going to fold this telescope up for launch. This is a tremendous accomplishment, and of course we're going to rehearse this on the ground a little bit, make sure. Telescope is protected by a giant umbrella, which is about the size of a tennis court. And we've never done either of those things in outer space, so there's some technical miracles that are going to occur. And of course, we got them figured out and we're making sure that'll work.
Now, as chief scientist, what is your chief role?
My job is to say, this is what we all need. This is what the science discoveries will require. And to make sure that working with the engineering team, we actually build what we need and that it does what it says.
Now, earlier we talked about the budget and how that had been reset and the schedule reset, and you have some insights into the overall NASA budget and how those compare to the worldwide budget for various activities that NASA is involved with. Give us an idea of what some of those are.
Well, sure. The NASA budget is actually a pretty small fraction of the worldwide budget for stuff in space, maybe 10%. The others include communications, GPS, military, surveillance, and, of course, other countries. Which are getting bigger and bigger. Within NASA, space science has always been about a third of the total NASA budget. And within that, maybe there are four major areas of science. There's Earth science. We look down and tell ourselves what's the climate doing? Is the ice melting? Is the sea level rising? Things like that. We studied the near environment of the Earth in interaction with the sun. Studied the sun. We study other planets here in the solar system. We send things out to visit. And finally, we do astronomy, which is my topic. We look at everything that you can't get to with a probe, going all the way from here to the beginning of the universe.
We're speaking with John Mather, the senior project scientist for the James Webb Space Telescope, and you've been at NASA a long time. And so what does all this budget ratios tell us about whether NASA is funded properly or needs more money or can get along with what it's got?
Well, NASA clearly can do wonderful things with what we have, and we are doing wonderful things with what we have. The science program continues more or less as it has, with no huge changes. I think there's clearly a shift a little bit towards increasing the budget for Earth science as we continue to discover things that really matter to people here on Earth.
Now, on a personal note, you are wearing a small gold-colored button on your lapel that indicates you have a Nobel Prize. Tell us about that.
Oh, my goodness. That's a wonderful experience, of course, but it's the culmination of the first project that I worked on. It was called the Cosmic Background Explorer, and it was designed to measure the cosmic microwave background radiation from the early universe. We know that it's the primordial heat radiation that still fills the entire universe, even 13.7 billion years later. So we measured it really, really precisely. And we showed that it fits the predictions of the theory perfectly. And not only that, it has hot and cold spots in it, which when Stephen Hawking saw this picture, he said it was the most important scientific discovery of the century, if not of all time. So I thought that was a little over the top, but I really enjoyed it. Now I think I understand why it's so important, which is that if those hot and cold spots were not there, we would not understand how we come to exist. The universe could not have made stars and galaxies if there weren't spots in the Big Bang.
And this discovery actually came as a result of your joining Federal Service after college, because it might not have happened otherwise.
Yes, in graduate school I tried to measure this background radiation, and my thesis project actually failed to function correctly, so I was lucky to escape. But NASA, in 1974, 5 years after the Apollo program had first landed us on the moon, they said, well, we need new ideas for science projects. So I said, well, you know, boss, my thesis project failed, but it should be done in outer space. So, okay, we'll write a proposal. So that was 1974. In 1989, it was launched and it worked. And that's how I got that button.
And you also, there's some interesting spin-off in technology, getting back to the telescope, that you did not imagine. The web has helped eyesight.
Well, goodness. Well, you know, Hubble Space Telescope was out of focus. A lot of people's eyes are out of focus. We can't see very well. For Hubble, we learned how to do the math, to measure what was wrong and to fix it. So for a James Webb Telescope, we're doing that on purpose. We launched the telescope all folded up, and it's out of focus. So we get into space, we have to figure out what to do. So we worked out the math. And so now, you know, you can get equipment that does this for your eyes. So if you go to the eye doctor and you say, I want my eyesight to be better, they can turn on their equipment that uses this same math and the same technology, and they measure. And they can look inside and see your eyes okay, and they can actually improve your eyesight based on this same mathematics.
Are you optimistic about the state of mathematics education in the United States?
Well, I know some kids get brilliant education in math, and some kids don't get a clue. So I think we all need to help kids. An awful lot of people don't know basic arithmetic, and we nevertheless make national decisions on things where arithmetic matters. So I sure hope that kids continue to learn how to add.